Mini episode 564 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 564. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with our preview of the Mad Men series finale titled Person to Person. Of course, this segment is co-branded, as usual, with NotJustAnotherTVSite.com, where you can also find my weekly reviews of Mad Men. We've been previewing all of Season 7's episodes in this manner, not just the second half of the season, and covering the show even before that. The end of one of the signature programs in the new golden age of TV is finally here, and it feels absolutely surreal. Here's our top five developments from Episode 7.13, heading into this week's last installment. Number 5. Duck continues TV's most one-sided rivalry. Ever since Don squelched his takeover attempt around the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, Duck Phillips has devoted his life to trying to take down Mad Men's anti-hero. Well, he's also dedicated his life to pouring as many cocktails as he can down his throat, and sometimes that gets in the way of business. Duck showed up at McCann on the pretext of helping to replace Don as he did in late 68, and maybe that's even true, but his main work consisted of moving Pete over to Learjet. Regardless, it's inevitable that Duck's latest appearance will be greeted with a disinterested shrug from Don, who willingly vacated his job this time. Of all the sad Mad Men characters, Duck must be near the top of the list, pouring such energy into working against a man who barely cares that he even exists. Number 4. McCann killed Sterling Cooper but isn't really absorbing it. Pete's sudden departure, combined with Jim, Joan, and Don leaving in their own disparate ways, leaves just the checked-out Ted and Roger among the partners still remaining. Sure, Peggy, Stan, and some others will still be around, presumably, but the notion that McCann would be the new collective workplace for most of the cast in the 1970s has already been proven wrong. In a way, it lends even more pathos to the death of Sterling Cooper, which had the talent to remain a strong industry player, even though the backroom drama was insurmountable. Number 3. What's more surprising, Pete's happy ending or the sense that was a feel-good moment? The ice had seemingly been melting a bit for Pete and Trudy recently, and via her drawings in school, Pete had been made aware that his daughter was viewing him as a distant figure. But the revelations that he received from observing the machinations of Duck and Bud seemed to formulate the positive philosophies that he needed to redeem himself with his family and start new in Wichita. It's very interesting that as Don himself is shedding the skin of his false identity and embracing his inner Dick Whitman, the character who most aspired to be like Don has recognized the error in his ways. When Don hears about this development, he'll no doubt nod approvingly. Number 2. Don's journey of self-discovery takes more odd turns. This installment of the Don Draper American Heartland Tour saw him unburden himself of his Korea shame, live his nightmare of being accused of a crime, and sternly advise a kid that he saw as a younger version of himself. Oh, and he added his car to the list of recently surrendered assets, his marriage, depressed Diana, his apartment, and his very career. At the very end, Don feels quite free, but it's worth pointing out that his expedition has been financed by the very job that he's given up, and as such, his lifestyle is on borrowed time. With that being the case, though, you get the sense that Don could just keep reinventing himself, maybe by getting a job on an oil rig or driving a cab. But his recent confidence that his children would be fine is another notion that is on borrowed time with Betty's diagnosis. In the end, the most valuable purpose in life for Don Draper, Dick Whitman, or whatever you want to call him, is to break the cycle of family dysfunction and provide a better life for his kids. The Francis household is about to be deprived of their matriarch, and Don has to become the central figure in the lives of Sally, Bobby, and Jean once and for all. In this way, Matthew Weiner has diminished the intrigue of Don's professional future in a way that viewers could have never seen coming. Number one, the program's most hated character becomes sympathetic in the endgame. Even more than Pete, Betty was a subject of great contempt from the fan base throughout the show's run. But while Pete got what they call the good kind of heat in pro wrestling, the disdain that a character like his is supposed to evoke, the anti-Betty sentiment always seemed to go beyond that, with her storylines consistently the least popular. This was defensible if for no other reason than Betty's failure to be an empathetic parent. But she grew as a mother right before our eyes in her grimmest hour, having been delivered a death sentence out of nowhere. Even if it was through a letter, she finally connected with Sally, and she legitimately seemed to want to spare her family the horror of her upcoming decline. And while the critique of her as a spoiled, uncaring Barbie doll may ring true throughout much of the series, so too in retrospect does her status as someone vanquished by marriage to Don and society's inability to envision a substantive place for housewives of the time. In the end, that may be why she accepted her fate so readily, because underneath the reactions that we always saw as petulant lie the fatalism of somebody always expecting the worst. Well, she sure got it. And in the end, she easily trumped Don for the top spot on this list in the penultimate episode of the series, yet another unlikelihood that Matthew Weiner has stacked on us recently. With Sterling Cooper deceased and Betty about to be, the major changes that we were awaiting through the first half of this final run of episodes have come decisively. And yet, it seems that one or two more big ones may yet be in store. Mad Men has always distinguished itself by the unpredictability in its world-altering developments. Surely there will be one or two more left in its final hour. Thanks for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.